This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We knew we weren't playing up to our standard. Coach Preach is the type of standard that we play to, and we knew in that first half that wasn't it. That wasn't us.
Gives it to Balazs, trying to drive towards the end zone. He gets close. Is he in? Dolphins signaling touchdown, and now the officials do as well. Fitz under center. Play action fake. Rolls right. Fires short. Caught by Parker. Devontae Parker on the run. Inside the five. Headed in the end zone. He is in. Touchdown, Miami.
Just bend, don't break. We just pride ourselves on taking the ball away.
Fires it towards the end zone. It is picked off, intercepted. Tre'Davious White comes up with it at the 1 yard line. Quick pass comes out quickly. It is fumbled out around the 27 yard line, picked up by Jerry Hughes.
The biggest thing was we got the takeaway, but what do you do with it? What do you do with the short field? And we capitalized on it.
Fires straight down the middle. Got it. It is caught. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. Smoke, John Brown. Touchdown, Bill.
I literally caught the ball, and I'm just like, yo, there's nobody here. The end zone was just like, oh.
And it is caught by Micah Hyde in the air, and he's going to run the other way.
Go down.
Micah Hyde running at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown.
We got to come out to a better start. You know, we just can't be comfortable with what we did. You know, it's just we got a lot to pick up and a lot to handle.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I'm telling you, you cannot get one past Eric Wood, right? That was me in the booth yesterday, too. Like, I didn't hear him, but I'm in the background there when that happens. Like, go down. Game is over. But it's got to be very tempting. You hear Micah Hyde make that noise there, like, oh, whatever he did.
Right.
We'll ask him in four if he thought about it. If it crossed his mind. Yeah. It could have crossed his mind, like, nah. We'll still win, probably.
I think he did say yesterday after the game that he knows he should have gone down, okay. But it was yawning, you know?
Did he know it?
it's just wide open.
At the moment. Did he know it at the moment? Yeah. Whatever. I don't want to, you know, hit him for that. You know, what's interesting to me is that on the postgame show, and then I tuned in a little bit this morning and heard the same thing. Like, fans are talking about Josh Allen. And it's not just, you know, give the fans some credit here. I guess I want to tell myself that. It's not just, he's great no matter everything you think that might be right but is critical, he's actually great. It doesn't sound like that. It sounds like fans are having good conversation about how good he really is. And I don't bring this up at all to start, like, you know, to question him or anything like that exactly. I'm just trying to observe. You know, it was interesting to me yesterday with the Bills' record being what it is, and even like the game the way it was, that, you know, there are people who are calling in to say, guys, I'm a little bit worried here about him, and they put that in different ways. And today I heard the same thing, and I don't know. I shouldn't be surprised, because it's like it's right and it's important, but I guess I have an instinct that when the Bills are good like this, or at least when their record is good like this, that I guess I had some reason to think that wouldn't happen, that we'd instead be talking about, like, apologizing for all his mistakes and everything like that. And it really doesn't sound like that to me.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder what's going on there. I think it probably is right to give the fans credit and say it's a referendum on how he's played so far this year. At least I want to think that. But I also think that every week is an opportunity to overreact and thus overstate what has happened in the game that we just watched. And this was a game in which the Bills were favored by 17. This was a game in which the storyline about how long it's been since they've had a 300-yard passer, and in fact, he's not had one yet, a 300-yard passing game, and you're playing the Miami Dolphins, and everyone is beating them like 59-10. So you're good, right? And your quarterback's good, right? So here come the Dolphins, and why didn't you beat them 59-10? Why didn't you throw for 340 yards? Why didn't, you know, all that? I think that is probably what is causing that to happen right after the game and then into today is that it was supposed to be easier than that. And the reason maybe it wasn't is that he had a pretty bad first half. I mean, he did not look good early in the game at all.
And that is not my reaction to this game, as I told you yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm fine here. The Bills don't have to – we don't have to put them to a certain standard that is really – who beats anybody big? The Dolphins lost the first game 59-10. They have not been losing every game like that, of course. But, like, who are the teams that just smack the bad teams? Not even the best teams do that consistently. It's just not that kind of a league. So – yes, the spread was what it was, but you know, we spent a lot of time last week debating whether we had the stomach for it. You know, like, do we have the stomach to give 17 points with this team? And you know, a lot of people wouldn't have, right? A lot of fans even wouldn't have. My reaction to this game is okay, check. You know,
yep, right?
And yep. I don't think that they have the kind of status here, and I think most Bills players and coaches would say the same thing. Like, I don't think it's an insult. They don't have the kind of status here where they should be criticized for not just blowing out anybody. And, you know, part of this, too, part of this conversation, too, is that they got booed. I mean, they were down at halftime. And I don't know. Like, I'm not a booer, but it just seemed like, whoa. What do we think this is? I mean, they were supposed to win seven games, and they might do that, you know, pretty easily here. I don't know. I just didn't see that as a moment where I was going to be mad at him. You know, it was still close. And
yeah.
I went to Bet Online at halftime to see what the odds were for the second half. You know, now we can do that. In 2019, you can do that. You can go see, like, live betting and such. And they were -230 to win the game at halftime with a 5-point deficit and Miami getting the ball. That's before a 10-minute drive. But still, like, -230, they're a good favorite to win the game, gambling-wise, even when they were losing. And they did win.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with the opponent. Maybe mm-hmm. everything to do with the opponent. They came into the game with a -138 point differential, and that included a 1-point loss. So you take their other four losses, that's an average of 34.5 points that they were losing their games by. So everyone wasn't 59-10, but it was pretty damn bad. Sure. So they were getting curb stomped, and we didn't do any curb stomping, and, like, okay, I thought we were really good. And really, you know, I said this a number of times yesterday, and I still feel this way now. It was offensively, it was pretty much what you get from the Bills. And that includes their quarterback. That includes Allen. They are not a team. It's why the point spread was a curiosity all along. That I'm not sure that I should count on this team to put up the kind of points that's going to get you that spread. And, you know, in the end, they won by 10 because of sort of a fluky onside kick play where, you know, we just heard the highlight of. What was weird yesterday, it's interesting that, you know, I guess everyone just still has faith in the defense. Yesterday was just a bad day. The defense did not have a good day yesterday. Miami moved the ball, I don't want to say easily, but they almost got to 400 yards in this game. And the Bills have done a much better job on, I think, much better talent in other games this year. Like, even the Bengals, I would include as having better talent than the Dolphins right now, even without A.J. Green. And this defense yesterday, they got kind of beat up front. They're missing Matt Milano, and, you know, maybe that's a really big deal.
I think that's a little bit of a story. Is the line of scrimmage. That's what the first half looked like to me. That's the thing about the first half. I mean, I think skill position-wise, like a lot of these teams are pretty comparable. Would you not agree? Like, the Dolphins, say what you want about Fitzpatrick. There are stats. You know, he gets yards. And Devontae Parker, and, like, some of their guys are not bad. And I would say they might compare with the Bengals, even with what they're doing at running back. They don't like this Drake, apparently. They've never liked him. So, but running back is running back. I think it's a matter of Rosen was getting plastered before he could even read the defense.
Right.
And the Bills did not have that kind of a day.
That didn't really happen yesterday.
No, right. So they ran it okay, and Fitzpatrick was able to, you know, see the field. And so I think that might be a story. But do you think overall that yesterday is a bad sign?
No.
I really don't.
No, I don't even it sounds awful to say because guys prepared and they put themselves on the line and they worked and on both sides, Fitz included in this, but it's sort of in the scheme of the season, it feels sort of like a non-event to me. There was going to be no satisfaction either way. I mean, we might be flooded with overreactions positively if Allen had had this monstrous day, and we'd be in here trying to put the fire. No, calm down. It was Miami. It's no big deal. He hasn't arrived.
It doesn't count.
Right. We don't have to do that. But that mentality, I think, is what leaves you feeling like there was no winning. The only thing you could do is get the win. So it's in the standings and you beat them, but you weren't going to feel, I don't think, I wouldn't have anyway, felt great if Buffalo had won by 30 because it's Miami and that's, what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah, I kind of thought the only way there would be a story from this game is if it went badly for the Bills, and it didn't go badly enough.
No, they won the game, and they won the game, in the end by 10. They didn't cover, they didn't dominate, and so we're left to sort of, I guess, find other things to sort of pick at. And, Allen is it's a good place to start. He's the quarterback.
If it needs to be said, what I'm thinking about and hearing is, do we know yet? Do we know yet? Do we know yet? Do we know yet? Do we know yet if he's good? Do we know yet if he's forever? Do we know yet? Or we want to put a ring on it?
Or do we know that he's bad?
Do we know yet? Either way.
Right.
Do we know yet? Each game is kind of that. It's a little bit of, oh, by the way, do we know yet? Do we find out? And I don't know. Part of your reaction to this game or any game, whether it's just for the team or for him or anything, it's based on what your expectations are, or it's based on what your thought was going in. Like, I don't think the Bills are the Patriots, probably. So when they don't blow you out, a team like this, it's not as much of a story to me as it would be to somebody who thinks like this is a top five team in the NFL or something like that, right? Naturally. And so if you think Allen is like definitely a top quarterback or something, then like, whoa, what's going on? So I don't know. It kind of goes without saying, but I'm not down on this at all. I mean, I think I'm used to. What was weird was that the Dolphins were described the way they were last week and how, no, this is different. This is different than maybe even the Browns. This is different than every other year's worst team in the NFL. Because the game that I watched was more like how it usually is, mm-hmm. And a team at home that has the better team wins, but if they don't win by a lot, it's really not that surprising. And so I'm all right. I don't know if the Bills think they've got, issues from this game, be that defensive line or what. I mean, I don't know. I guess that would be maybe the only area where they might think they had a problem yesterday.
Yeah.
Front seven.
Yeah. And look, I don't know. It's, the bye happens. It's a thing. We talked with Sal on Friday during our roundtable about, the breaking of the routine and the rhythm and all that, and it is Miami, and despite all the process and all the, how they approach things, I think it's possible as a player to very much fall into a sort of, come on, I can do a little less this week. You just don't have your edge on because you're thinking the game is going to be easy. And maybe you even have to fight that, but even having to fight it is a thing that takes away from your preparation. So maybe that's just all it takes. The line, it is the pros, and maybe that's all it takes.
The big question is, you think about that offense. I mean, the Bills have been pretty, for the most part, pretty consistently the same through six games. And that's what, obviously. Defense is good or very good. Offense is okay, right? I mean, it's just like that's the Bills. And the schedule is easy. Like, that's the Bills. All right, so take the schedule point out. Because, of course, the point now with this season is the playoffs. Like, there's just no other acceptable outcome for them this year than the playoffs. Wild card is the worst case scenario for this team right now. That, you know, I mean, like, the worst case you could live with. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're a lock to make it. I'm saying if they don't, it's bad.
Yep.
Okay? So, really, you know, we can talk all we want about these games as they come and go. Like, we can talk all we want about this Dolphin game. I don't know. It's kind of boring, maybe, to do that for too long. Plus, it's over. Now it's, you know, the next day. I don't need to do much more of that. What it is that, you know, is going to matter is, can they do the things that they're not good at well enough in the playoffs to win? And I want to talk about who they'll play. Like, I want to get in. I want to look at that. I want to see the board. Show me the board. I mean, the Chargers lost again to the question about getting in the playoffs. The Chiefs lost. The Chiefs won. The Chiefs lost Mahomes, but they won their Thursday night game.
Like, they've got a 2-game lead on everybody else in the wild card race.
Baltimore won. Baltimore was nice yesterday. That win in Seattle was a nice job.
Yeah.
Indianapolis had a good win over Houston. Like, those are maybe the two top teams there. And so, like, you know, unless you pass New England, we know, and we have known since this sort of became the story, that this season gets to that game. Week 18, wild card weekend, at one of those guys. And I don't know, like, Baltimore, the way it's going for the Chiefs, I know they won pretty big the other night, but, and of course it's still so early, we're still in the first half, this is not a big deal. It's just like, could Baltimore end up ahead of Kansas City? Yeah. Like, could they end up at the 2 seed or something? Yeah.
Sure they could. Yeah, Mahomes
it's possible.
Is going to be out for a few weeks at least, and you know, we'll see. They won big without him, mostly, the other night. But you know, I think that's probably going to be tough for them to duplicate. I don't have their schedule memorized or anything. I know they've got Green Bay on Sunday night.
Yep.
And
then Minnesota.
Good luck, Matt Moore. You know, playing Green Bay without Patrick Ooh. Mahomes.
Do we have a line on that yet? I want to try to guess it. I don't know it.
I have not looked.
Green Bay at Kansas City Sunday night. Who's favored? Is Kansas City going to be favored at home anyway? Green Bay 6-1.
No, Green Bay is going to be favored.
You think?
I think so. Without
Mahomes, I will guess.
And that defense, I think Packers -2.
Packers -2 on the road. Bills are like -2, right? -1 or -2. Yeah, that might be good. I still think maybe Kansas City gets a little more credit. I'll say pick.
Green Bay's favored by 3.
Okay, I lose. I'm losing all the picks anyway. Why wouldn't this happen again?
Yeah, Bills are 1.5 favorite.
Green Bay -3 at Kansas City. And then Minnesota the next week. And they're not bad either. So that's part of the conversation. And there's also, like, New England. Unless you want to – you do that unless you want to talk about finishing ahead of New England.
Well, I, you know.
Who plays tonight?
I think you can still do that. I mean, that is still, even though they didn't dominate the Dolphins, I don't go into this, you know, this week coming up, they're hosting the Eagles, and the Eagles are good at some stuff and not so good at some other stuff, and I don't know how equipped the Bills are to take advantage of the thing that they're mostly bad at, which is pass defense.
Very interesting.
But I don't feel like I'm not going to be surprised, really, if the Bills win that game. They're having a good year. Their defense is good. And, you know, the Eagles are wobbling. I don't know really what they are. What they are is under 500 for the year, and they got blown out in Dallas last night. So I'm going to go along. I'm just going to be playing this schedule. And New England is sitting out there in week 16, and after this game tonight, their schedule gets a little dicey. They've got Baltimore coming up. I looked at it last week. I don't have it memorized, but they've got Kansas City coming up. They've got Houston coming up. Yeah.
Yeah, so, Cleveland and then at Baltimore are their next two
after
tonight. I don't think they're a cinch tonight either.
Okay. Well, so, you know, if I can stay within one game of them.
You're alive.
I'm alive. Going in there in week 16, which is, and that, you know, in the back of your mind, this is where, you know, we pick and choose what we want to hang on to from past performances, right? They didn't kill Miami, and Miami's pretty bad. Don't worry about that. Oh, well, I did a great job against New England, and they've done a good job on New England like 3 times in a row now.
Defensively.
Yeah, defensively. So, I don't see any reason I can't go have that game again, and I just need to find my way to some offense, and that's hard to come by for this team at times, especially against New England. But all the same, like, I'm not assuming that game can't be had at all. The way the Bills played them in week four, right away I thought, okay, well, just get me to them with a shot, and that'll be really exciting.
I mean, if the Bills beat Philadelphia, I promise to consider it a good win. I want to promise that. I saw last night. They were terrible. And they've had bad games. They might just be terrible, but I'm just going to refuse to believe it this week, the Eagles. That's a team that won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. They have a lot of those guys still there. There's like infighting a little bit, too, with Philadelphia. The coach was guaranteeing this game last night, and they just got destroyed in Dallas. So whatever. I'm telling you. I promise you. Hold me to it. If the Bills beat Philadelphia, any way they do, I'm telling you, that's a good job. Like, that is not a team that I'm, you know, taking lightly at all. You know, Washington the next week. But it's just like, it's just so on right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. They didn't kill the Dolphins. So what? Who's going to remember?
Right.
Who's going to remember? They just, it doesn't matter. And in terms of trying to figure out something about what will happen down the road, which is what I'm always doing, from these games, I don't think the Dolphin game helps very much, you know, good or bad.
No, right. I definitely we talked about it late last week. Like, what's the reaction? The Bills win a game. It ended up being, they won a game basically like the scenario you laid out. They win a game, but it's not, you know, super impressive, but they win it. What's the reaction? The reaction is Philadelphia. That's it. Like, I think we get over these games faster than ever already as it is with this opponent. Sadly, because it's Miami, you know, you might like to sit with it for a little while because it's Miami, but it's just not, you know, they're not any good. Everyone knows it. So you did whatever you needed to do. You won it, and now you've got the Eagles. And that's, yeah, I think that'll be, if there's a win the Bills can, you know, they already lost to New England. If there's a win here in the front half of the schedule that might, even though Philadelphia's 3-4, get everybody's attention, and I don't mean just in Buffalo. Maybe beating the Eagles would be that game.
Like, yeah.
Wait, the Bills are 6-1 now?
This fan base has got to take that game seriously. I can't believe it wouldn't. I mean, Philadelphia, that's a, you know,
yep,
the top team going into the season, and they're not really looking like one, but still.
And tonight, you know, if this game, the Giants were tied at 14 with the Patriots last Thursday. And that held my attention for a little while. Like, ooh, okay. If something like that starts happening tonight in the same stadium.
No, that was a home game.
Oh, that was a home game. Forgive me. Okay. But if something like that starts happening tonight, that is, I think Twitter Bills fans are going to be, they're going to be pretty woke watching that game unfold. Yeah. If the Jets are within a field goal or even ahead, it's going to be hot.
I kind of expect that tonight. I think the Jets play them tough tonight. 803-0550. It's your calls after the break. Buffalo Bills football Monday. Micah Hyde at 4 o'clock. There's a lot to talk about with him, including his fabulous touchdown return to clinch the game yesterday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, I mean, of course you're going to take it personal, but you can't start looking around and pointing fingers. It's the same guys that we go to war with every day, same guys we wake up to in the hotel and communicate with each other, and this is our family, so you can't look like we got to turn it up. Just had to stick together.
That is Ed Oliver, Buffalo Bills football Monday on WGR. Sneaky Joe, our producer, just whispered it in our ears like 1 second before Ed Oliver was done talking. I was ready with Casey Mittelstadt, actually. I was going to guess him because I wasn't sure. The Sabres have 3 games this week, starting with tomorrow night against San Jose, and then they're right back on the road. It's like the schedule makers went, all right, we got to find a place for San Jose at Buffalo, I guess right here. And then we'll just get right back Thursday night, Friday night away.
Yep. Middlestad had himself a nice little road trip.
Yes, the King game.
Yeah.
Right? So are the Sabres still first in the league in points?
I think they might be – I didn't open NHL standings today, but I think they might be second.
What's wrong? Somebody else good?
What are they slumping? Carolina has been really rolling early in the year. I'm not sure how their weekend went.
Tied for first with Colorado.
Okay.
And Edmonton.
Oh, okay. What happened to Carolina?
Edmonton. Carolina is 6-3 now.
Oof.
I know.
It's over.
Done. Sabres goal differential, second best, one behind Colorado. 7-0-1 Colorado.
They've also got a game in hand. It's important.
The Avalanche do. Mm-hmm. All right. When do they play? See, Ottawa? 1-5-1, minus 11. Mm-hmm. Not good. Mm-hmm. All right, back to football. We'll have Micah Hyde today, again, with the Sabre schedule. Rob Ray, three times this week. Here is Paul with us. Hello, Paul.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to call and say how great a weekend it was to, again, watch the Sabres win and then watch the Bills win yesterday. And I'm kind of sick already of the people who complained, like, with me at work about, I don't know, they didn't do well against the Dolphins. Those are the people that complain about, oh, you're going to have to park when you go to Disneyland. You're going to Disneyland. You don't worry about the parking. Don't worry about paying the toll booth on the highway if you're taking a trip for a picnic. Enjoy the ride. That's what I'm doing right now. You know, if something happens and the Sabres fall apart or the Bills fall apart, I'll have enjoyed this part.
Yeah, I mean, I hope I can get away with saying this. I generally agree and recommend this philosophy. It can't really apply to me, so don't take it as weird when I don't sound like that because I'm doing this job. But I generally advocate for that, the way Paul is talking here. I think, and here's the bottom line on that, because what do you really want to get out of this Bill season? Apart from his excellent point about why not just enjoy the moment, what are you here for this year? What are we all here for this year with this team? Get into the playoffs.
Sure, into the playoffs, and is the quarterback any good?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's right, but that's secondary. That's for, like,
sure,
it you is. Know, they're not taking them out.
And right, as long as they're having a year where they're arcing towards the playoffs, there's really going to be no point in pondering whether he's going to come out. But, like, it's at some point, it is going to be, you know, we're not there yet. And, you know, they go through this whole year. This year goes this way, and he throws for 225 yards a game. Maybe he ends up, he might be tracking right on Trubisky's second year right now, Allen. Right? Well, that was a bar that in the summer we talked about it a lot. I don't know that we all agreed, but it was referenced often as that's a step. That would be a positive step. It's not to say I want him to be Mitch Trubisky, but just one year to the next, here's the jump, okay, and go figure. A part of the comparison was that the Bills look like they might have a really good defense, and so did the Bears last year, and where are we? We're pretty much right there. So if you have that year, there's going to be no talking about taking him out, but, you know, fast forward to the following season, and it's a different thing with Trubisky already, and like it'll get there with Allen. Like eventually, it's going to matter.
Yeah, that will all come.
But
the point of this year, would anyone have not said at the beginning of the season, getting into the playoffs is a good season? Like getting in and losing,
sure.
Getting back to the playoffs is a good season, and I think that is still true.
Mm-hmm.
What's different now is it will be terrible if they don't, because of what's happened already, what we see about their schedule, etc. And, you know, after that, they could be a team that wins a game or two. I mean, they could be that team. You never know. I think about Jacksonville a couple years ago for that and how close they were to the Super Bowl. You know, that was pretty shocking, but they weren't even like that good of a regular season team in terms of their record. And that happened. So that's for later.
Mm-hmm.
But getting into the playoffs is the thing, and this team is in very good shape to do that. And yesterday's game doesn't really matter at all, except that they had lost it. That's what I think.
I definitely feel like, Paul, I said as much last week. Like we have plenty of experience, and there'll be plenty of time to wallow if this, you know, turns for the bad. On both fronts. I mean, the Sabres, it's still just so damn early. But still, you know, they're 6-1-1. It's pretty cool. Look at this. So I do try to, in spite of having to do this, sort of enjoy the – I try to be positive when it's positive because, you know, it isn't always. It hasn't been very often. So and there'll be plenty of time for the other stuff if it does turn bad.
Right. Thank you, Paul. Kevin is next. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, guys. I love the Sabres and where they're playing. I'm not really a big hockey fan. But the Eagles are to come in here. It's do or die for them. If they don't win that game, they're not going to the playoffs. So Bill's got to be ready. I like the way they're going. I just keep it low-key. Don't let the whole country and everything get on the Bills. Keep low-key, and we'll surprise everybody. How's that?
All right. Sounds good, Kevin. Thank you. We'll try to obey. Here is Kieran next. Hello, Kieran.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Long-time listener, first-time caller here. Obviously, it's great to see a 5-1 record. You don't see it too often these past few years, but I'm a little concerned with how the game went yesterday. We got the bye week heading into it. We got Miami, and the first half was atrocious. The offense wasn't good. I know the defense has been outstanding this year, but if we want to be put into this playoff contention, I got to see a lot more from the offense, especially like against a team like Miami and off a bye week. It was upsetting. It was upsetting for sure.
Okay. Well, not to me, and they are in playoff contention despite these problems you're pointing out.
Right, and their schedule might allow for them to mostly be what they've been all year already and, you know, double their win total or more by the end, because that's what happens when you play a soft schedule, and they've got that going for them. I don't think yesterday – the thing that was different yesterday is that you were playing a team that was, you know, losing games and losing games badly mostly. And so you're a 17-point favorite. So you're supposed to come in there, and I think it's going to be your day. Like, oh, look how good Allen is. Thinking about even last year, the last game at home when he had a huge game. But the offense pretty much was what the offense has been almost all year. The story to me yesterday was that the defense gave up almost 400 yards against Miami. And I don't think that that's something that I should be worried about long term. I think it was an aberration, because the defense has been really good all year. The offense to me was, I don't know, at the same level they've been.
Thanks, Kieran. Here's Mark next. Hello, Mark.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I don't think it's fair people giving Josh Allen all this criticism, especially the morning guys. I mean, he was 10 for 11 in the second half. He played great. Knox hit that drop in the first half, and that's just inexcusable. But I thought the defense, they couldn't get off the field. It was an embarrassing first half for the defense. But I think they got to make a trade or do something here at the deadline just to go for it and make a run here. Maybe something equivalent to adding. Back in the day, my uncle said they got to add somebody like Cornelius Bennett to just take this defense to the next level, and I'm going to have to listen.
Yeah, you know, I like how you're thinking there. I don't think anything about what's said about Allen is per se unfair, but you might. I like the way you're thinking. The deadline is next week, and trades are in vogue in the league. And this is a team with aspirations now. I mean, now. They probably have had aspirations. Like, this is a team that's in that should be in that conversation. So who are we talking about, or maybe better yet, what are we talking about? And might there be opportunities? Like, yeah, I think that's in play. I think that's all on the table for discussion is the deadline. Jalen Ramsey was moved. We talked about him for a day or two. And you're seeing big prices.
Yeah.
I mean, that was two first-round picks. Do you think these guys have the sort of attitude that they would trade two first-round picks for anybody?
Von Miller's the first name I'm thinking of. The caller's talking about Cornelius Bennett. I'm thinking of, you know, really good players that could have an impact on your defense on a team that's not having a very good year. There's Denver, 2-5. I don't know if they're going to shop Von Miller or already have or not or whatever. But that price, probably, he's a little older than Ramsey. But I still think that price gets close to what Jacksonville got for Ramsey with what Miller has been in the league. I think if you're going shopping for that, then that you're definitely talking about a first-round pick. And if not a second one, then a second-round pick. Or so, you're giving up a lot, and I don't know. I don't know. I mean, the Bills get credit to some extent for, you know, they were aggressive in the trade market, trading away players. And then when they were having a surprisingly good year 2 years ago, they traded a third-round pick for Kelvin Benjamin. That is nowhere near the same sort of idea as trading two high picks for a pass rusher. So I don't even know how much I love that idea, because that is a steep price. And as much as it'd be great to have an undeniably great player, I'm not sure I'm ready to go win something with my offense enough yet that I want to pay that price. Like, I'm just not sure it adds up.
Yeah, I'm going to enjoy the speculation here for the next 8 days or whatever it is. There's still AJ Green, and there might be other players in the league getting shopped, and I'm just not aware. Like, I'm not thinking of them right now. I think I'm going to enjoy that, because this team should be a candidate for such a move. Thanks for the call, Mark. We'll be right back, and we have Micah Hyde coming up in about 20 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
It's not always going to be pretty, right? We play 82 games, and I know sometimes from the outside it's frustrating, right? You're like, you know, where was the team that played the night before? And we're not fooling anybody anymore, right? It's not like we're rolling into town and teams don't know what we bring to the table. So we're going to face teams in their best game. And so it was obviously, I think it was good to see that sometimes, some nights when it is rough, we found a way to win here. And, you know, it's a tough road trip, right? It's never easy going to those rinks playing back-to-back. And so it's nice to get home here and, be able to sleep in our own beds and get ready for a game here tomorrow.
I have a guess. I'll let you go first.
Carter Hutton.
That was not my guess. Wait, yes, it was.
Well, we all appreciate your honesty.
Wait, the Sabres think they're now a team that gets the other team's best game? Okay. Maybe. What? I'm just going to talk for 45 seconds, then you'll ask me another question, and I'll just talk for another 45 seconds. The Sabres host San Jose tomorrow night, and that should be cool. The team is winning, and let's see if you can sort of feel that in the crowd at these games. Just got word that Micah Hyde needs to move to like 4:25 or 4:30. So a little bit of a delay on that. And that does give us a chance to carry at least some of Sean McDermott's press conference at 4. If he's on time, then that would be 4 o'clock.
All right, that'll work then. All right.
I mean, we're not talking about the Lee Smith catch. 50 minutes?
Three already? He's on pace for a career high 14.
I have no stake in this, so I don't think to bring it up.
What it's on pace for is yet another amazing bet. Well, that's what it's on pace for. How about this season so far for the Leafs? It's only $10, but whatever. You got to take what you can get.
Sure, I thought maybe the second zero got erased on there.
Yeah, Joe, did the second zero get erased?
Not that I didn't see anything. There was.
I'm game if you are. By the way,
no, I'm not worried about going. No, certainly not now.
Three catches through six games. Yeah, I don't think I'd want to be done.
You think I'm the favorite right now? It's a pace for eight.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you're in great shape.
But it's not like, I mean, have they thrown it to him once this year yet when he didn't catch it?
No, I don't think so. I think he's money. I think he's 3 for 3 on targets.
3 for 4.
Three for four
targets.
He did have a target that he did not catch. I must have hated that.
And a touchdown.
I forgot about
it. He's got a touchdown already too.
He was like running towards the end zone though. Like, it never had a chance. It was like way over his head, I think.
Oh.
It's like maybe the Giant game. I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't know if you. I did not catch One Bills Live. Maybe this was brought up, but I saw Steve Tasker. He's often in the radio booth when we get there, when I get there before you, for post-game. I just like to leave earlier to get over there. So I'm over there with like 7 minutes left. You get there with maybe 2 minutes left normally. And Steve is in there, and he said he was with the governor yesterday. Governor Cuomo was at the game. Maybe they're talking stadium stuff. He's there. And so Steve was around him. And then you had this is separate from that, I guess. You had the player Christian Wilkins of Miami get thrown out on the second play, wasn't it?
Yes.
The second, play for their defense. No, that was the beginning of the game.
Yep.
Right? Second play of the game, he's thrown out for throwing a punch. And Steve said, and I prefaced it the way I did, is maybe he brought this up on that show, but he said somebody in the room just brought up, because he was, in a crowd, and somebody brought up, I can't believe a player getting thrown out so early in a game. And Steve's like, well,
Yeah, right. That wasn't the first play, no. But it maybe was his first play. Was it like a the first punt of the game or something? Maybe. I don't know. It was very early in the game.
I don't know, but the point works. You know, like right. Steve got thrown out, as you may know, he got thrown out of his last NFL game.
Yeah, not only was it early in the game, it was his final game ever, yeah.
His final game ever at Lambeau Field, historic setting, and he was thrown out for arguing too aggressively with an official. He was back for a punt, and they ruled that the ball touched another Bills player, so Green Bay picked it up in the end zone and got credit for a touchdown, and Steve was like, Steve... The clip of that is you see him go back to the sideline, and then he must see a replay. And he just turns around and runs 100 miles an hour back to the officials in the end zone. And, like, I don't know, that was it. So they tossed him. I don't think you want to get thrown out of a game on the second play.
No. I mean,
later, fine.
It's funny the way, you know, the game unfolded from there, but. You know, Miami ahead at halftime and then almost, you know, on the verge of going ahead 21-9 eventually there after that 10-minute drive to start the third quarter. But that game starts, this guy gets, to me, that's, they had a bet on the team who could get out of the game first that's what I'm thinking when that happens. Like, the guys are just like, it sucks here. This is horrible. I don't want to play today. This is stupid. You know what? I don't see how early I can get thrown out of this game.
What is that like? It sounds like Major League or something.
Right, I know. Though that's what I'm thinking. Like that's how I felt about Miami coming into this game, is that they're just, nobody wants to be there. The guys that are playing and trying hardly belong in the league, which of course is overstated, but that's you know, my mindset. So he gets tossed. I'm just thinking, this is a guy, like Rob Ray will tell you, like there's hockey games that, like the other tough guys, like I don't want to let's get out of here.
Yeah,
right. Let's just.
I love those stories.
Let's carry on enough so that we get tossed and we can get to the bar. All right, because this is stupid. That was my thought about Christian Wilkins, and you know, of course, the game unfolded in a very different fashion than that.
I like there, too, but that they wait to resume the game until he starts to leave. If you saw that at the stadium yesterday, like they just would not start the play clock again until he was starting to make his way out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they just will wait for you. I wonder where he, I don't know if he was at the bar or at the locker room. Right. Or couldn't he just take his uniform out and off and then come back out and get away with that?
I don't know how that works. That might be something you get penalized for if a player who's been ejected from the game is on the sideline, even in street clothes. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
You probably should get a penalty for that. If you get a penalty for wearing the wrong socks.
Yeah, right.
Devonta Freeman, by the way, thrown out. He tried to, or did punch Aaron Donald in that game, and that could also have been like, get me out of here. The Falcons getting blown out at home.
After Aaron Donald lifted him up in the air like a child, though, so.
Yeah. You think he had cause
at that point. He had cause.
You think he had cause, yeah, Devonta Freeman. Sure. We'll talk to Micah Hyde next hour, but a little later than usual, and we'll get you some of that press conference from the Bills coach, Sean McDermott, as well. When we continue here, Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sneaky Joe. This is WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.